on Sunday is not going to be one thing, it's going to be two things. The first thing we're going to do on Sunday is to take you to the Russian church, to the Galach, and he will once and for all get rid of any kind of Yiddishkeit in you, and you will no longer be a Jew. He'll do whatever he has to do, and you will become a regular Russian. You'll forget all about being a Jew. You'll give that up. And that's what we're going to do in the first part of the day. And then when you're a regular Russian, and the Galach is through with you, and you're no longer a Jew, and he did what he has to do to you, then we'll take you to the big party in the palace to make you the highest general. And only then, and only in this way, will you become the general. And of course, you'll come to the parties with myself and the queen, and you'll get lots of gold and silver, and a lot of honor, and a fancy new uniform with even more badges and more decorations, and a special sword with diamonds and jewels. But the Tsar says, the king says, if this thing you will not do, and you will still call yourself a Jew, and you will not go to the Galach on Sunday, not only you will not be my biggest officer, you're not going to be even the littlest officer. And not only you will not be the littlest officer, you're not going to even be a soldier. And not you won't be a soldier, but I'm going to make big trouble for you. As big as an officer I was going to make you, I'm going to make big, big trouble for you. And you will wish that you would have done what I said in the first place. And he looks at the officer straight in the eye and he says, this is what you must do. Now, say right now, either yes or no. Remember, if you say yes, you are second to the king with the best life in front of you that any Russian would love to have. And you will be the second most powerful man in Russia. And if you say no, you're going to have gigantic trouble for the rest of your life, which might not be so long when I get through with you. Ken Allah, this soldier's mind is racing, and he's shaking, and he thinks to himself, all I have to do is say one word, yes. And I have the dream of every soldier and every Russian. And I'll have gold and honor and silver and parties and a beautiful uniform and power and everything, and everybody will give me honor. And I'll be the greatest general and the second to the king. That's if I say one word, yes. And if I say no, it'll be trouble the rest of my life. And he thinks to himself, I should say yes. After all, I'm a soldier. I'm an officer. I'm an army man. I know nothing about being a Jew. All I know is I'm a Jew. When I was a kid, my parents said, you're born a Jew, you're a Jew. That's what you are. But I don't know anything more about that. Why shouldn't I say yes? If I say yes, I'm the greatest Russian. Why should I say no to that? But something inside was confusing him. It should be so easy just to say yes. But inside a voice said, you can't say yes. You have to say no. You're a Jew. That's what you are. You can't go against that. And the soldier was confused inside. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow, when we get the mic fixed, and we get rid of all this weird noise, we will continue with the story. Okay, I hope we finish the story today. Shh. It is a very powerful, sad, happy, at the same time important ending of the story. So fasten your seatbelt, because today we must finish the story. We cannot schlep it out over Shabbos. It's too much. We've been telling it the whole week. This czar has just given now to the big officer, who he wants to make the biggest officer, a choice. Either you must say yes, or you will say no. What happens if he says yes? Yes to what? What is he saying yes to? The czar wants him to say yes. The queen wants him to say yes. What is he saying yes to? Yes, more pizza? No. Yes, more corn? No. Yes, what?
To be the highest general.
Well, to be the highest general, you are right. But what does the king want him to do in order that only if he does this, he will be the highest general? What does the king want him to do?
Become a guy.
To become a goy. To go to the Russian church and chas v'shalem completely give up his Yiddishkeit, no longer be a Jew, be like any Russian. The Tsar has said, only if you go to the Russian church, to the Galach, he spritzes you and he makes you a regular Russian, and you go on Sunday with all the other officers and the king, that way you will be accepted as the great general of the army. But if you continue, if you continue to call yourself a Jew, not only you will not be a big general, you will not be a little general. You will not be even a sergeant. You will not even be a soldier. You will be in trouble. That's what you're going to be. Trouble. For the rest of your life, which might not be so long. And he says, you must choose and you must say either yes or no. Now, how would we leave it yesterday? This soldier was in a tremendous confusion in himself. He says, what does it mean to me to be a Jew anyway? I have not done anything as a Jew for over 30 years. 5 years on the farm and 25 years in the army. So what anyway? So what that I was born a Jew? What does it mean? Big deal. But the other voice said, but this is what you are. This is what you were born. This is what your mother was and your father. You can't throw away what you are. It's not just what you do, it's what you are. Where is this noise coming from? I'm trying to find it. I mean, I keep hearing quiet and noise at the same time. I can't figure it out. Either it's quiet or noisy, but I'm hearing quiet and noise at the same time. I'm confused, like the soldier. One side says one thing, the other side says another thing. I'm all mixed up. And Kinalach, all of a sudden, the soldier says to the czar, yes. Oh, I see boys almost starting to cry. How could he say yes? He's going to the Galach? He's going to say he's no longer a Yid? He's going to become the greatest general? He said yes. And he thought, boy, is it noisy. He thought that after saying yes, he would feel better, and the other feeling would go away. But as soon as he said yes, the other feeling became much more powerful. How can you say yes? You have to say no. You're a Jew. Kinalach, as soon as he said yes, the Tsar had a big smile on his face, and so did the Queen, and so did the other officers that were standing there. He said yes. He's going to throw away his Yiddishkeit and go to the Galach. But that yes did not make him happy inside. He was bothered inside. And the feeling did not go away that this is the wrong thing to do. And the king says to one of his officers, bring the royal wagon. We're going now to the Galah. And the Tsar says to one of his officers, when the time came to go to the Galah on that Sunday to make the party, get the royal wagon ready. It's time to go to the Galah. And the party was being made to become the general. And the royal wagon came to the palace. In the royal wagon sat the king and the queen and the officer and the other wagons and the other horses were going, the other officers that go along with the king. And now they're riding to go to the Galah, to the Russian church. And this soldier, the officer, is very, very in a storm. He does not want to go through with it. He said yes, but the whole time he feels no. Only his mouth said yes. But inside his neshama was saying what?
No.
His neshama was saying no. He felt his whole neshama was saying no. The only thing that said yes with his mouth, with his teeth, with his tongue. Is that what you are? A mouth with teeth and a tongue? Or you are your neshama? Your main part is your neshama. What is your main part?
Your neshama.
Your neshama. And this is what happened, boys. On the way to the Galah, they're crossing over the great river. And over the great river is a gigantic bridge. Did you go over the Brooklyn Bridge? Did you go over the Manhattan Bridge? Did you ever go over a big bridge? Okay. I'm not talking about at the Botanic Gardens, a little bridge over a little tiny stream. And over there, you know, it's a little tiny bridge that goes over a little puddle over by the Kachkas. I'm talking about a big bridge with a big, strong river under it. And they're crossing over the bridge. And the king is smiling and the queen is smiling and the officer is upset. When all of a sudden the officer got an idea. This is very sad. But this is the story, and this is what happened, and this is true. The soldier got up from the wagon, and before the king and the queen knew what was happening, he jumped out. But he didn't jump out just for the wagon. He jumped so far and so hard and so high, he jumped all the way over off the bridge. Well, once you're off the bridge, you start to fall down, and if you can imagine, on a high bridge, down into a very strong river, he fell into the river. And the king and the queen and all the officers couldn't do anything to save him, and that was the end of him. And the king said, what happened over here? Why did he do that? He's on his way to be the greatest of Russians, besides me, of course, besides the king. And he jumped off over the bridge. What for? Because he wanted to stay a Jew? What did it mean anyway? And the king says to himself, and he says to the queen also, he says, I made my decree to take away the Jews as kids from their families, put them on farms, put them in the army for 25 years, that they should forget all about that they are a Jew. And here is a soldier who had a chance to be the highest of soldiers, the highest of officers, and he gave the whole thing up just because he wanted to stay a Jew. What does it mean? The king says, my decree does not work. I cannot do anything to take those Jews away from their Yiddishkeit. My decree is not working. It's a waste of time. So that day, the king nullified, he got rid of his law, and from that day on, they never took away the Jewish kids from their families and put them in the army for 25 years. So this Mesiras Nefesh of this officer saved all the other Yiddish boys from the Gezeirah of Tsar Nikolai. And that, Kenelach, is the end of the story. Once there was a beggar. And this beggar came to a new town that he never was to go begging. And as he's going in the street, ready to stick out his hand, as he's ready to go from house to house begging, he sees a group of beggars already in the town. And he thinks to himself, uh-oh, there's already a group of beggars in this town. I hope they're not going to get upset at me if I will also go begging in this town. And he goes over to the group of beggars to introduce himself, to say, hello, shalom aleichem, hope you don't mind, but I'd like to also go begging in this town. And he thought maybe they're going to get upset at him. After all, you know, one more person to go begging, maybe they'll feel he's taking away from them. But they were very nice. Not only very nice, they were very special. They said, you know what? This is the way we do it in this town. We all go to different places begging. We each have our street that we go on, and we have our places that we go. And at the end of the day, we get together in a certain place in the town, and all of us take all the money out of our pockets and we put it in one big pile. And we divide the money equally, plus we take off miser, we take off 1 out of 10 to get stuck it. Now these are beggars that themselves are getting stuck it. But they give tzedakah, they give also to people that are more poorer than them. Because they say sometimes one of the beggars gets sick and they can't go out begging. Or there's somebody that needs money more than us. So we give money also to those people. And this new beggar sees that these beggars are a very special group. They divide everything and they help people that are less fortunate than they are. And now they're going together before they divide up and go their different places. And all of a sudden, they pass by a big, beautiful house. Obviously, a rich man, a millionaire, lives in that house. And there was a mezuzah on that house. It means a Yid is living there. But nobody was going there to knock on the door. And so the new beggar says to the group of beggars, doesn't anybody go to this man to ask for money? Oh, no. He doesn't give anything. In fact, he is very mean. And he never wants to speak to us, to give us anything, to give us time of day, to give us even a minute to ask him something. No, he's too busy and he gets too upset. We don't even bother going there. He never helps anyone. And the new beggar thought to himself, such a Yid who has such a bracha in money. Oh, that's terrible. And he told the beggars, I don't believe that such a Yid that is so wealthy, which means he has a bracha from Hashem, I don't think he could be so mean and so selfish and not to share. That's the way it is. Forget about him. And he says, no. I'll tell you what. In a few days, it's going to be Shabbos. I am going to be his Shabbos guest. I'm going to spend Shabbos in his house. And the other beggars are laughing. Ha ha! Shabbos in his house? You think he ever has people over for Shabbos? Especially us beggars? Forget it. He doesn't want to have you for Shabbos. Maybe he's going to have some important big millionaire over for Shabbos. Maybe. But he never has beggars for Shabbos. Are you kidding? Never at his table is somebody like us. You're wasting your time. No, no, this new beggar says, you'll see, this Shabbos, I'm going to be his oirach. And they said, if you'll be his oirach, if you'll be his guest, we're going to make you the king of the beggars. We're going to call you the king. And they were laughing like it's a big joke. He says, well, you'll see, but I need one favor from you. One favor from you, this is what I need. Shh. Because I need you to help me a little bit to get to be his guest. Okay. He says, when you go knocking on somebody's door, I want you to tell them what I'm going to tell you now. You'll tell the people when you go knocking on their door, there's a new beggar in town, and he knows the place of a buried treasure. Shh, you hear what I said? There's a new beggar in town, and he knows a place that there's a buried treasure. A treasure that is buried secretly in a place. How many boys understand what I just told you? The beggar says, wherever you go, tell people, you know, there's a new beggar in town, and this new beggar happens to know a place where there's a secret buried treasure. There's a new beggar in town, and he knows where there's a buried treasure. Okay? You tell people that. And they said, is this just a made-up story or something? He says, no, no, it's really true. I really know a place where there's a buried treasure. And I want you to go and tell people about it, that they are talking about it. Because eventually, the rich man will also hear if people are talking about it, and he'll know that I'm the one that knows the place of a buried treasure. And he'll probably want to get a hold of that buried treasure. Shh. You mean you have a map and it shows the place of a buried treasure? Well, I know the place where there's a very big buried treasure. Okay, we'll do that. But we don't think you're going to be the guest of that rich man, even if you tell this miser. And the beggars went around and they knock on the door. Hello, could I please have a few pennies or maybe some food? Oh, you again. Okay, here's some pennies. Oh, by the way, there's a new beggar in town, and he knows where there's a buried treasure. Really? A buried treasure? Oh, that's interesting. Why don't you come in and we'll give you some food. Maybe you'll tell us more about that. Oh, thank you. Well, we don't know too much more, but if you'd like to give us some food, we'll come in. And they come in the person's house, they give him some food. Tell us about this new beggar. Well, he's a nice man and he knows where there's a buried treasure. Where is it? Well, he didn't tell us. Other beggars go on their places where they usually go begging. Hello, could we have some food maybe or some money? By the way, there's a new beggar in town and he knows a place there's a buried treasure. Yeah? Oh, come in, tell us about it. Here's some hot tea and some cake. Tell us more. Oh, we don't know too much more, but we just know that he knows where there's a buried treasure. That's what he says. Shh. And slowly the whole town is talking about this new beggar that knows the place of a buried treasure. Finally it came, Erev Shabbos, and it's almost Shabbos. It's almost time to light the Shabbos candles to bench lift. And it's almost time that boys, if they're going to talk, we're not going to hear more stories, so be quiet. Shh. Eat the pischetti and the peanut butter and zeishtil. We should serve stickier peanut butter, so that way the teeth will get good and stuck and they won't be able to talk so much. They'll just eat the sticky peanut butter and the pischetti and the cottage cheese. And all of a sudden now the new beggar is going up the driveway to the rich man's big beautiful house, and it's right before Shabbos. And he knocks on the door, and his servant comes to the door. What do you want? I'm a poor beggar. I'm a new beggar in town, and I need a place for Shabbos. Now, you need a place for Shabbos. What do you think it is here? A hotel? No, it's not a hotel, but I see it's a nice house, and maybe you have place for a beggar for Shabbos. I need a place for Shabbos. And the rich man heard the whole commotion going on by the door, and he also heard the words, I'm the new beggar in town. Oh, now the rich man had heard about the new beggar. Now, what particular thing did he hear about the new beggar? And this was, of course, the plan of the new beggar, that he should hear it. What did he hear?
That he knows where a big treasure is.
That's right. He knows that this is the beggar that knows where a big treasure is buried. And he rushes to the door. Hello, you're the new beggar in town? Yes, maybe you have a place for me for Shabbos? Are you the new beggar that knows where a treasure is buried? Oh yeah, that's me. That's me, right. Oh, come on in. Come on in. Be my guest. And the rich man takes him to a nice room. And he gives him beautiful, nice, clean clothes to put on for Shabbos. A white shirt and everything, a beautiful suit and everything he needs. And he gives him a towel and he says, wash up and make yourself nice and comfortable. And he shows him a nice bed and a beautiful room. And then he brings him downstairs and he says, come, let's go to shul. Here's a nice coat to put on. And they go to shul. Now, in the shul, there was a place that the beggars used to daven together. And the rich man used to go up to the front with all the important people. And the new beggar that is going with the rich man dressed up in the nice clothes, he's going to go over to daven in the back of the shul with the beggars. But the rich man says, no, no, you come and sit next to me in my place. And he goes now with the rich man up to the front of the shul, and he's sitting next to the rich man with all the important people. And the beggars in the back of the shul are looking at that. And what about their eyes? What do you think their eyes look like when they're looking at that?
Popped up.
What?
Popped.
They're popping out of their head. Very good. They're popping out of their heads. They can't believe it. Look, look, the new beggar, he's going with a rich man. He probably got invited for Shabbos. And not only that, he's sitting next to him. And the rich man gives him a sitter. And they're davening together with the minyan. And afterwards, they're walking out to the shul together. And the beggars can't believe it. And he goes to the rich man's house. It was time to sing Shalom Aleichem. The rich man put the beggar right next to him. Right next to him in the seat of honor. And he brought him a sitter. And he opened up the page to Shalom Aleichem. And it was time to make Kiddush. He brought out the best wine. And he filled up the becher and he gave the beggar his own becher of wine. And it was time to wash. And he took him to wash and he gave him a towel and the kfort. And they washed and made a moitzi. And the rich man got up to serve the fish to the beggar himself. He says, it's my honor to serve you. Now, of course, everybody has in his mind, why do you think the rich man wants to do all of this honor to the beggar? Does he care about having the beggar for an oirech? Or maybe he wants something? What do you think?
He wants the buried treasure.
He wants the buried treasure. Well, that's what everybody probably is thinking, right? Okay, well, let's see. And Kenelach, after the fishy, even before the soup, the beggar and the rich man got in a conversation speaking about different things. And the rich man saw that this beggar is very, very smart, very intelligent. He speaks well, and he knows a lot of things. And for a minute, the rich man forgot about that he was a beggar and that he had a buried treasure. And he enjoyed speaking to him, almost like a friend, or really like a friend. And the rich man got up to serve the soup to the beggar. And he serves them a beautiful bowl of soup. And after the soup, they go on talking. And they're talking in Torah and the Parsha and different things. And the beggar is saying stories. And the rich man really enjoys it. He says, "Oh, this is wonderful. Such beautiful Torah by the table."